All Things Are Possible, number 8. The three foundational texts that we've been using is Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And I've said it more than once that this was said in reference to a deliverance or a healing. And then we have Mark chapter 10 and verse 27 that says, "But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible.'" So you have to believe. It's not enough to say all things are possible. Jesus did say that phrase, but he said, "If you can believe." There was a qualifier to it, and the same thing here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 27 that says, "With God all things are possible." Amen. Then the third reference that we've been using as a foundation, Luke chapter 1, verse 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Amen. So there is nothing impossible with God. But just to say there's nothing impossible is incorrect. It's incomplete. God is in the equation, but also faith is in the equation. Of course, God is in the equation because he's the source. He's the source of healing and of life and of deliverance and of prosperity. But it's going to take, and this is what we've seen over and over again, it's going to take us hooking our faith into his word, into him as the source of all, for that to become manifest in our lives. Now, the other scripture we've been looking at, and this is where we've been really camping out on, is Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. Well, I'm going to read verse 22. "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea,'" and here's the phrase that we've been looking at, "'and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says.'" And I'm just going to go ahead and read verse 24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them," as the New American Standard says, "and you will have them." Now, we've been looking at this phrase, "and does not doubt in his heart." And particularly, we've been finding out what it means not to doubt in the heart. We found out the word heart means the spirit. You're not to doubt in the spirit. And we're looking at this word diakrino, which is the Greek word doubt, translated as doubt. And it literally means to separate, to make a distinction, to discriminate, to prefer, to determine, to decide a dispute, to hesitate, to be at variance with oneself. So if Jesus is saying not to doubt in the heart, but believe, if you're not going to doubt, then that means that you can't have questions in your heart. You're going to have to settle the dispute, the hesitation, the variance. You're going to have to remove all of the hesitation. Doubt is mixed up. Doubt is indistinct. Doubt is undiscriminate, without preference, no determination. It hasn't come to a decision to settle the questions once and for all. And this is what we've been studying, and we've looked at these words that are the definition of the word doubt, which we looked at discriminate, which isn't a bad word when it's used correctly. It has nothing to do with race or gender. It has to do with the fact that you haven't made a clear determination. And that's another word. That's the word we're going to get into today. You haven't decided the dispute. We looked at the word hesitate, and we saw what that means. There is no hesitation in faith. And like I said, today we're going to start looking at this word determine. Now, doubt does not determine in its heart. Now, what does the word determine mean? Or in other words, it hasn't determined in its heart something. Well, the word determine means to fix conclusively or authoritatively. It means to decide by a judicial sentence. Wow, that's strong. In other words, if you don't doubt in your heart, you've made a decision, a judicial sentence. It's like you've passed a decree when you don't doubt. You've settled it. And as a matter of fact, the word determine means to settle or decide by choice of alternatives or possibilities. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you don't doubt in your heart, you've settled something in your spirit. You've settled the questions concerning two possible choices or possibilities. Well, what do we read in the Word? All things are possible to him that believes. Well, you've chosen to believe God and his promises because that's the answer to any impossible situation. That there's always in life two choices, and you have to resolve which one you believe. Now, let me give you a scripture from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, that I believe will fit right in here real nicely. I believe this is what the Lord put in my heart right here. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you. Now notice what he set before us. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. So see, in order not to doubt in your heart, you're going to have to resolve, you're going to have to settle or decide to choose life. If you choose death, or you and you say, well, I'm not choosing death. Well, if you're not choosing the word, that's the only other choice. I'm here to tell you, folks, there's no middle ground in humanity. There's no middle ground in life. There is no such thing as choosing something between life or death. You're either going to choose life or you're going to choose death. You're either going to choose blessing or you're going to choose the curse. Now, I didn't write the Bible. I'm telling you, this is all that there is. There's either light or darkness. There is nothing in between. Now, whenever you hear people talk about gray areas in life, folks, that's darkness. I don't care what it is. There is no such thing, according to the Word of God, as a gray area. There's nothing between that stands in the middle between blessing and cursing. It's either one or the other. It's either life or death. That's it. That's how simple it is. And that's what you have to determine. You have to choose life. Now, this is what God says for you to choose. He does not want you to choose death. He does not want you to choose cursing, but you know that a lot of people are choosing death and cursing by default. And what I mean is, when you don't choose life, by default, you have chosen death. When you don't choose blessing, then by default, you have chosen the curse. Now, this is one of those truths in the Bible. You're either going to sow to the flesh or you're going to sow to the spirit. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to get death. If you sow to the spirit, you're going to get life. Jesus said, the thief comes only but for to steal, kill, and destroy. There's no gray areas with the devil. There's no gray areas with God. All good gifts and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. The book of 1 John says that God is light. Just like he is love. Just like God and his word are one. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 2 and 3, right in there, it says that. Well, again, I'm telling you, we must make a clear, decisive choice. Based on God's Word, we must resolve within ourselves, we believe God, we believe his Word, and nothing else. Now, that's what Jesus meant when he said, does not doubt in his heart, but believes. That's what Jesus said to Jairus. And I'm saying this again. I said it before. When they came from his house and said to him, why do you bother the master any further? Your daughter is dead. And one translation says, Jesus completely ignored them and said to Jairus, Jairus, do not be afraid, only believe. Because that's the way you get results. You don't get results with a double mind. And this is what I ended up with on the last teaching. And we're going to close with it again. James chapter 1, because of its importance. Some people don't like to hear this, but I can't help it. This is what the Bible says. And if you're going to operate in the kind of faith that pleases God, then you're going to have to do things according to the Word. There is no other option. People don't get it. You either have life or death, blessing or cursing. You have the goodness of God or you have the badness of the devil. You have to choose life. In order to have blessing, in order to have life, in order to have the length of days. Let me say something else to you. You're going to have to choose divine protection. And the Lord just dropped this in my spirit. You have to choose it based on God's word. Psalm 91 that talks about he'll give his angels charge concerning you. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. No evil shall befall you. No, one translation says, no accident shall overtake you. No plague shall come near your dwelling. Hallelujah. That's Psalms 91. You got to choose that. He said, with long life, right there in Psalms 91, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation, my deliverance, my wholeness, my completeness, my protection. That's what that word salvation means. Actually, it also means my health. He'll show that. He'll demonstrate it to us, but you have to choose it and you have to decide it. You have to answer all the questions in your heart and believe that you receive according to the word. Now, that's what this phrase, and does not doubt. Now, let's read James 1 and we'll close for today and come back tomorrow with some more. If any of you lacks wisdom, this is verse 5, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. Now, folks, you can't even think that you're going to get something from God if you doubt. Because you won't. That's just what the Bible says. Why? Because you're a double-minded individual, unstable in all his ways. If you doubt, well, this is what we're doing. We're removing the doubt. How do you do it? You determine. You refuse to hesitate. You have discriminated and made a separation in you from the doubt. You've separated yourself from it, and you say, bless God, I'm standing on God's word, and I'm standing on his promises. I refuse to have two thoughts in my heart concerning God's word. Now, what I mean by that, well, some people have two thoughts. Let me give you an example. Saying, yes, I know that God can heal, but I'm not real sure if it's his will to heal me. Well, you're a double-minded individual when you think that way. You're unstable in all your ways. You need to settle that. Go to the Word, find out his will, and realize and understand that Jesus took your sicknesses and carried your diseases, and that by his stripes you are healed, and that you're going to believe that and only that. Bless God. And that's what moves you into an area of faith, and that's what causes you to receive from the promises of God. That's essential. Amen. Well, bless God. We're coming back tomorrow with some more teaching on this subject.